Welcome back to part two of podcast number 86. Okay, here's another letter, a longer one. As I often do, I woke up about 4 a.m. this morning and came downstairs to spend the second half of my night in my favorite chair. I often have difficulty going back to sleep, so I turn on something to listen to, which helps me doze back off. I usually turn on a political-centered podcast, but since discovering your riveting podcast on pegging, I've been doing a concentrated catch-up. We were up north over the Memorial Day weekend, and I had the earbuds in all night long with your sage advice and wisdom playing from sunset to sunrise. Yeah, I managed to hear quite a bit between periods of rest. Anyway, I was happy to see that podcast number 85 made its appearance overnight, and I tuned into it as I settled back into my easy chair to partake during the return trip to Dreamland this morning. But sleep didn't overtake me right away. The podcast was just too interesting. Specifically, I saw that you addressed a question similar to one that I had submitted recently regarding the curvature of the dildo. I was pleased to hear your take on it, despite the fact that it wasn't my question that you were addressing. Then, when you mentioned you were linking to a specific Aslan harness that sounded very interesting, I had to have a look. So I went to the computer to look at the link. Who needs sleep anyway? After checking out the Aslan site, wow, what intriguing products. I noticed the curve of the dildo redux bullet point and wondered, could this be my question? Yes, it was. Thank you so much for addressing it. I had to chuckle aloud when you suggested that I must be an engineer. You sure had me pegged. Oops, did I really just say that? Yes, I'm a retired engineer with an electronics and computer background, which explains my being so anal. Sorry, couldn't resist. About detail, and specifically in my writing. I try very hard to be clear and precise, which often has the opposite result. Have you ever heard of Murphy's corollary that says, in making something absolutely clear, someone will be confused? That's me. The he, she, him, her thing is a result of my disdain for the degradation of our language at the hands of the politically correct, who wring their hands over language being sexist when his is used generically, as in, make sure your child brings his pencil to the test. These days, even English teachers bastardize this into, make sure your child brings their pencil, which is bad grammar. What, an engineer who was also a grammar prig? Yeah, I'm an oddball. Incidentally, when I retired 7 years ago, my wife and I decided that a good retirement pursuit was to ramp up our always hot and varied sex lives. It involved sharing our deeply suppressed secret desires with one another, and then going about the process of making the necessary corrections to assure that we were both getting the sexual satisfaction that we wanted most. It's been somewhat hit and miss, but we've done things neither of us ever dreamed we'd be doing. Briefly, my thing is lingerie and embracing my feminine side, and hers was spanking. I guess neither of us fully understand the other's fascination, but we do try to accommodate and fulfill our respective secret pleasures. I probably don't have to tell you that I'm very eager to explore pegging in more depth than we have in the past, and I'm blaming you and your blog. I haven't yet introduced my sweetie to your podcast, but I'm thinking that this one, in which you answered my question, would be an ideal one for her introduction. Thanks for all you do. You have another fan for life, and I will be a contributor at some point. I was too late to the podcast to be a contributor to the Washington, D.C. trip, but I'll make up for it one of these days. Lovely letter. It's nice hearing back from you, and it's nice to know that I was right, that you're an engineer. That totally cracked me up that I nailed that one. Pun intended, right? Yes, there's puns everywhere. Once you start looking for those puns everywhere, I can really get behind that. I mean, oh, we could go on and on. And I'm also glad that you are taking such delight in my podcasts. And since it's been so long since I've done a podcast, I'm wondering if you have made any progress towards asking your wife about the pegging thing. I do want to commend you on taking that step and sharing your deepest fantasies. It's interesting the way that you phrase that you think that neither of you really truly understand each other's secret deepest fantasies with the spanking and the pegging, the spanking and the lingerie, but that you really take care to make sure that those needs are met. That's just the key thing. I mean, you're never, well, I don't know about never. The chances that you're going to have a partner, and here I'm talking to all you listeners and readers, the chances that you're going to have a partner that's going to have the exact same kinks as you is really pretty low. So what ends up happening is when you share that, it's really kind of scary because you're thinking, well, what if she doesn't like the fact that I really like to wear lingerie? I think when you're in a total loving relationship, and especially if you've had like the hot sex like life like you described before, that paves the way a whole lot in that you can talk about sex and things like that. But when you love your partner and you find out that they have a total passion for something, as long as it isn't something that totally puts you off, it really, really pays to indulge them. You are going to be satisfying their deepest desires, and in turn, they will be much more motivated to satisfy yours. And that give and take, that acceptance and that lack of judgment, and the willingness to participate, even though it's not totally your thing, just because you know it's that important to your partner, that's gold in a relationship. It's total gold. So good for you guys. It was just so endearing to hear that. I loved hearing the description of how that's been working for you. I did actually get a donation from someone for, I think it was $50. And it was through the link from the DC trip, which is over now, but obviously the donation still works. And so I have yet to write that person and give them a year subscription to my erotica. But that could be you, sir. I'm not really sure. As I say, it's been a long time since I've done a podcast, but I would like to hear an update if you guys have made any more progress towards the pegging. And I thank you for writing back. I really appreciate hearing your story and would love to hear any updates that you have. Okay, this next letter is really fascinating to me because it's something I don't know a whole lot about. Spina bifida and pegging. I was curious if you have any experience in this area. I have always identified as a dominant and enjoy that lifestyle immensely, but I have also never had an orgasm because of my disability. While I have no trouble getting an erection like a real boy, I have no feeling in my penis. So this in part has inspired me to look into sensual pegging. Initially, the curiosity was born out of almost desperately needing a physical release, but once I discovered sites like yours and saw the potential to remove kink from the act, well, I haven't been able to think of much since. To be honest, I don't know much about prostate stimulation. I don't even know if getting fucked in is the key to some physical gratification. Just thought I'd see if you had any insight or pointers for me. I might be on the bus right now, so this message isn't written as well as I'd hoped it to be. Just anxious to start exploring this new frontier. Hope you're having a lovely evening. Thanks for writing in with this question, because it's a new territory for me, and I'm always fascinated to take a look at new territory. I don't know much about spina bifida at all, so the fact that you have no feeling in your penis is surprising to me, and I'm sure to everybody you come across. I'm interested in if you have any ejaculation at all. You haven't had a regular orgasm, so I know that it's healthy for men to have regular ejaculations. So I'm wondering if you have anything that you've started. Well, you say you don't really know much about prostate stimulation. Let me back up a little bit and just give you some information about what I know. The prostate is responsible for making seminal fluid. The seminal fluid is what carries the sperm out of your penis during an ejaculation. When you feel turned on, your prostate starts making seminal fluid. This is part of, or it's a large part of, what gives men who have normal feelings in their penis and genitals to have a feeling of pressure. Like, you know, you hear all the euphemisms all the time. I was just about ready to explode, things like this. So that's that feeling of pressure. But I also do know that health-wise, prostate health-wise, and health for your basic reproductive system is to make sure that that seminal fluid, you know, that it keeps going through there. One of the things I heard from a friend of mine who is actually in the urology field is he talked to a couple of urologists and he asked them about prostate stimulation, and they said, you know, probably the best thing to avoid getting a swollen prostate, which is called BPH. This is something that happens to someone nowhere near your age, because you're fairly young, and I saw that on your profile. But BPH is swollen prostate, and these urologists said, you know, the best thing to try and ward that off is basically to have an ejaculation and orgasm every day. So, because that just keeps fluid running through there. Now, with the condition that you've described to me that you have, I'm wondering if you do ejaculate, I'm wondering how often that seminal fluid comes out. Because if it doesn't, then prostate stimulation and prostate massage would be a wonderful thing for you. I don't know if you've heard the term prostate milking, and that's when you go in there with either a toy or your fingers, and ideally done by someone else just because it's kind of awkward trying to do it to yourself, but you can, with the correct toy, you can. As the aforementioned Enjoy Pure Wand is probably the perfect thing. But what that does is it starts the seminal fluid flowing out of the prostate and through your penis. So normally that's a really quite a good feeling for men as it flows down the length of the penis, okay? But if you don't have any feeling in your penis, just the feeling of the prostate being massaged is really, really lovely. I do not know, in your case, if the lack of feeling in your penis because of the spina bifida extends any further than that, if it extends into the general area of your genitals, if you don't have any feeling in your testicles, if you don't have any feeling in your prostate. But it's absolutely worth trying as an alternative source of pleasure for you, because men can absolutely experience a lot of pleasure from simply prostate stimulation with no penile stimulation whatsoever. And who knows, it's possible that if you had the prostate stimulation with some penile stimulation, that you may be able to experience an orgasm. It's hard to know. But I think that just the stimulation of the prostate itself could be very pleasurable for you and is absolutely something to explore. Because in your case, you're looking for that feeling of release. You're looking for that feeling of physical gratification. And yeah, I think that the prostate might be able to offer you that. I would suggest, and well, okay, part of the reason I think this as well is because some time back on a podcast, one of the questions that I got was, my husband is going to have his prostate removed. Will he still enjoy pegging? Now, this is not your situation at all, but I was able to track down someone who actually has had their prostate removed and still indulges in pegging. And part of what he talked about is that it was a very intimate thing, and there was still about 30% of the pleasure that was there before. He didn't actually have it removed. I think there are different ways to deal with prostate cancer, and one of the ways is just to kind of radiate it so that everything's kind of dead, but it stays there. And I'm not sure how that all works, but there are different choices that you can make. If you actually have the prostate removed, then it can interfere with a lot of other things because of nerve things. So his experience was, after having that procedure done, is that he had about 30% of the pleasure that he used to have when getting prostate stimulation before, specifically when indulging in pegging. So even with everything kind of radiated because of the cancer, he was able to experience pleasure in that area. It's quite possible that you may find that there is a complete treasure trove there, and I would suggest that you start doing some self-exploration to check it out. The Aneros toys, oh, I don't think they call them toys. The Aneros devices are probably one of the better things to start with for prostate stimulation for beginners. And they are created so that you can insert the device into your ass, and by clenching your sphincter muscles, you can massage your prostate. So that is something to start with. Fingers are fine. And the Enjoy Pure Wand, you know, you can kind of ramp up to that if you find that there's some good sensations there. But I would also encourage you to, if you haven't already, ask your doctor about prostate milking type of stuff in an attempt to keep those fluids going through there. Because if you're not having actual ejaculations, then you should start to do something that keeps those fluids moving and keeps that an area that doesn't get a lot of stasis and sets you up for being more prone to swollen prostate as you get older. That would, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm just throwing, you know, what I know out there. But check on that and ask for some advice, because if you're not ejaculating, you're kind of setting yourself up for difficulties in that area. You know, to keep the health in your whole reproductive system happening, and especially in your prostate, you need to have regular ejaculations. And if you can't do that, then you can achieve the same thing with the release of the seminal fluid through prostate milking. And there are articles written about how to do that and stuff. So anyway, that's the best I have, the best advice I have. And it's a little bit out of my territory, a little bit nervous about giving what sounds like medical advice on my podcast. So please don't take it that way. This is just my take on what's going on with you and the possibilities that pegging might offer you. Really interested to see what you find out. Really interested to hear what you discover and what it's like for you. So if you want to get back to us with what's been happening once you try it out, please do, because I'm anxious to hear how things go for you. Okay, this is a back and forth that I had on FetLife.com. And this is kind of funny. Firstly, wow, the famous Ruby Ryder had no idea you live locally. I just signed up for this site today, and I'm really surprised someone as famous yourself is basically in my backyard. Anyway, moving on from the initial shock of it all, you've been a huge influence in my life regarding your involvement in the strap-on community. I don't know what it is, but the idea of a woman donning the same appendage that men have and getting off on it and knowing what it's like to stroke it, thrust with it, and bring pleasure through penetration has always been such a turn-on for me. To be honest, I have no idea if I'd even like it if I ever had someone use one on me. I've never had the pleasure of being with a woman who'd want to. Girlfriend, let's see. He says, girlfriend of 3 years was so disgusted when I told her it turned me on. Ooh, sorry to hear that. Yeah, and then he goes on to say, your literature has really helped me to come to terms with accepting it as an okay turn-on to the point I'm somewhat proud of it now. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, and I hope I will be able to share your thoughts and views with a future partner, and thus allow them to be more comfortable with giving it a try. Won't know if I actually like it until I try it. Well, that's that, I suppose. Really just wanted to reach out, say hello, and say thanks. And here's how I responded. Thanks for the great message. Indeed, I am local and active in the kink community. I'm happy to hear that I had a hand in helping you get comfortable with your desires for anal exploration. Until you find the right partner, self-exploration is always a good idea if you have not yet tried it. I appreciate you taking the time to write. And he responded, and this is basically why I'm reading you all this, because I get other letters that are common to what I've read you so far, but this follow-up is something I thought was really valuable for you all to hear. He writes back to say, I hope you do not mind that I am following up your response with one of my own. Firstly, you're more than welcome. I'm sure that I speak for many more than myself when I express my gratitude for all your contributions. But enough with the formalities. Let's get down to the meat of the topic here. I really think you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned finding the right partner to explore these things with, but perhaps not in the way you expected it to be. And I do not mean that in such a way as saying it needs to be the right person that is solely just into it, but someone who is passionate about the relationship to the point that no stigmas matter anymore. See, for me, it is not so much about finding the right person who shares the same likes and dislikes, but finding the right person who is loving and accepting enough to shatter any past beliefs held that differ from the norm. It is for that reason that despite our shared understanding that self-exploration is a good thing, that I want to save such intimacies for someone that could very well be more than just the right partner, quote unquote. There is something so intimate and passionate about it that I almost do not want to share it with anyone else other than just one person. Now, do not get me wrong, there's a certain amount I have tried on my own, a finger, a partner's tongue, someone pulling up my briefs from behind as we go at it, but anything more than that would feel like I'm cheating myself out of sharing such an intimate experience with someone that could truly be ever so special. Anyway, that is just my 2 cents, and that is not to say I am disagreeing with you. In fact, I agree with you tenfold. I just want that experience to be something special with someone special. I can't imagine I'm the only one. Nonetheless, thanks for the follow-up, and I hope I was able to shed some light on the topic from a slightly different angle. Yes, this is from a slightly different angle, and I'm really glad that you wrote in. I have encountered this before of men wanting to wait for finding the right woman. I'm not sure that's ever been quite so much expressed as like finding the one woman who will do this. With them. Sometimes these men who are waiting to find the woman to do any kind of anal exploration with in their ass, sometimes it's maybe because they think doing it themselves is a little homophobic. I totally don't get that from you at all, but that's one of the reasons. But yours is different. It's almost like you have this sort of reverse virginity thing where, you know, it's a special thing and you want to save it for the right person. However you want to do that is totally up to you, of course. You get to make the decisions about what happens to your body. I do suggest that when you do it, if you find an amazing amount of pleasure, you may be kind of sad that you haven't at least explored your own ass years ago. But I just say that because that's what happens with the vast majority of men, certainly not all of them. And who knows, you could be one of those guys where you try it and it just really doesn't ring your bell. But at the same time, if you find it and it blows your doors off, you could have been enjoying that yourself for some time. And I don't know, I do want to also bring up the whole, like if it was a reverse thing and if it was a woman who said, well, you know, I don't want to masturbate because, you know, that's something I want to do with my guy, you know, I want him to do that with me. It's something special I want to save. This is perhaps not a good comparison at all. But at the same time, it just really pays to know your body. That's my attitude about it. And I think I find your attitude about it really kind of charming and sort of romantic, if you will. And I do wish you the very, very best in finding that perfect person. Where I totally, totally agree with you is that it is a very, very intimate and close and special thing. So I can understand why you would want someone intimate, close, and special to experience that with. And it also takes an enormous amount of trust. I do like your attitude about, you know, if you love someone enough, that just shatters all of those strange taboos and the weird things that people have, because it's someone you love so much, you accept it. I love that part. So this was a really interesting message to get, and I'm so glad that you sent it to me, because, yeah, it is a different way of looking at things, and I'm sure there's people out there that look at it like you do. So when you find the right woman, let us know how it goes, and thanks for writing in. Okay, this is just a short one, but I wanted to read it anyway because it's kind of cool. Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise really brought my bi side to the surface. You take down barriers and walls to allow ourselves to think it's okay to think bisexuality is okay. I'm not completely out about my bi desires to my wife, but she knows I am interested in oral and cock. I hope you keep bisexuality on the top list of topics at Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise. I absolutely intend to. One of the things that I have personal feelings about with the whole bisexuality issue is that bisexual men get a raw deal, and you guys have like a soft spot in my heart, and I do and absolutely would love to have a relationship with a man who's bisexual for a whole lot of reasons that don't bear going into right now, but I think that it's something that it's important to get comfortable with, and I know that there's probably some listeners out there that are, you know, every once in a while when I come up with the stories, and more frequently, during masturbation month that involve man-on-man action, just kind of roll their eyes. It's like, okay, I'm totally not into that. But you know what? At the same time, I think it's important for it to be something that you just look at and go, yeah, not my thing, but don't react to like, oh man, I wish he would stop that. I just have such a hard time with that. That just disgusts me. I guess what I'm looking for is acceptance and lack of judgment all around. And I think that this is one of the last walls to fall. That's a big one, is the male bisexuality thing. Straight men, many of them, spend so much time monitoring so many things about their behavior so as not to be thought of as gay. And I really would love to get to the point where, and I've said this before, if someone finds out that you enjoy anal stimulation, it's like, dude, that's gay. To just stand there and say, and, you know, what if it is? Because that it's... In that case, that's used as a negative, and that's what I really would like to see zero of in my ideal world, because we all have different orientations, and there are probably a lot of men out there who are hiding their bisexuality because gay is still used as a pejorative. It's ridiculous. So is it going to be on the top of my list in terms of things I address now and again? Absolutely. It's going to stay here at Pegging Paradise because there are a fair amount of men who love anal play, and sometimes, you know, in the beginning I used to deny this vehemently. You know, I did the whole, he's not gay, he's not gay, and if you peg him, he's not going to turn gay. Well, there are some men who have that hidden bi side that they've never said anything about, and then when they have the anal experience and they get pegged and they start exploring their own ass, they become even more bi-curious. Well, of course they do, because of the whole, you know, envisioning different scenarios and maybe envisioning a real cock up their ass. So it's not like he's changed orientation, but it's certainly opened up a whole new world. And I would love to see gender fluidity more accepted with men. I know it's not as common that men are gender fluid like women are, but yeah, the acceptance and the non-judgment is really what I'm going for here. So thanks for writing in and letting me know that all of my man-on-man action in some of my stories is appreciated, because every once in a while I get a little self-conscious about, okay, am I losing listeners and readers here? Because I'm writing what turns me on, frankly. So I'm happy to know that it really hits home in a good way with some of my listeners and readers. Thanks for writing in. I appreciate it. Okay, and one last question here. This one I actually got off of Twitter, interestingly enough. Kind of floors me how open some people are on Twitter. Of course, I imagine they're anonymous, but still. Okay, it says this: my girl used to peg me, but complains there's nothing in it for her. So now we just have vaginal sex. Any tips on how to get back? Okay. Complains that there's nothing in it for her. See, this is partly a relationship question, as the same time it is a pegging question. First of all, you guys need to have really good communication and be able to talk about what you really like in bed. So if that's the case, then hopefully you have spoken with her and told her how much you like pegging and how much you really would like to do it again or do it all the time. So then we come to the, and also hopefully she has shared her fantasies about what she loves the best with you, and you two are eager or at least willing to satisfy each other's fantasies. But then we come to the part where she says there's nothing in it for her. Well, I think of two things when I hear this. The first thing I think of is that sometimes people are kind of selfish lovers. Sometimes women can get that way, and they sort of expect the man to do the whole thing, and they expect to be given pleasure all the time. You know, that always pulls me up short when I hear the there's nothing in it for me, or I don't get anything out of it. Because, I mean, when a guy's going down on you and giving you head, he's not getting anything out of it. When you're giving him a blowjob, you're not getting anything out of it. What's the difference here? So really what it comes down to is it's something that you love that you would like her to do for you. Now, there are ways for her to get something out of it if you want to go down the path of checking out different equipment and things like that that can give her more pleasure. And so those are things to consider. But at the same time, you can also offer, or in addition, you can also offer kind of a trade. And if there's something she likes and isn't getting enough of or wants more of, you can trade her and say, I'll do that as much as you want if you do this for me. But I don't know. What I love to see in couples is a real desire to please the other person. That's what keeps relationships happy. So it kind of gets complicated when you get down to that level, because who knows what your relationship is like, and who knows how you guys get along, who knows if you talk in bed. There's all kinds of different ways to look at this. The GGG thing, that's Dan Savage's creation, and here's what it means. GGG as in good in bed, right? Giving as in giving of equal time and pleasure. Game as in game for just about anything. So those three are the GGGs, and everyone should strive to be that in a relationship. Now here we fall upon the second one, giving as an equal time and pleasure, because this is something that you really like. And like I say, I don't see it as any different than a blowjob or you giving her head. Does it take a little more effort? Yes, but there are ways that you can make that a little easier. You can do a position where she lays on her back, we call it cowboy, and you ride her. Because one of the things that sometimes stops women is it takes a lot to do pegging. And now you guys are very familiar with this concept, because fucking someone takes a lot. It takes strength, endurance, balance, grace, and multitasking. And when women start to do this, sometimes it can be really difficult. You have to develop the muscles, you have to develop the movement, and there's a lot of practice that's necessary. And in the beginning, it can feel very difficult and very awkward. Maybe that is what put her off of it. So a switch of position where she's laying down and she has to do pretty much nothing and you can ride her, that is a possibility to sort of get her into it. That would be my best suggestion I can come up with, really, other than all of the other bases that I've covered. You also want to make sure that you are absolutely rocking her world sexually. Because the better and the more and the longer and the harder and whatever it is she loves that you rock her world sexually, the more she will be willing to reciprocate and give you what you most love. So make sure you're rocking her world. Make sure you're helping her out at the home, you know, being helpful and doing an equal amount of the chores and all those kinds of things so that she's basically got no room to complain. And if she's not willing at that point to give you what you really desire sexually, well, that's a tough one. Then you need to take a look at what's going on and have a serious talk with her. Because if it's that important to you, you have to decide whether it's a deal breaker or not. Because I know when you find something that you totally love and then all of a sudden it gets taken away, how disappointing that can be. And you can give her all kinds of information about how the prostate is equal in pleasure to the G-spot, about how, you know, people who do it have found, you know, a deepening of intimacy and you would really like to try that with her. There's all kinds of ways you can talk about it that may or may not make a difference to her. Sounds like she's kind of made up her mind, but the point is to find out why she feels that way. Why does she feel like there's nothing in it for her? So yeah, I don't know. I think I talked this one to death, but hopefully there's a few things in there that will help you out and help you find success in this, and you guys can get back to having a good time pegging. Okay, good luck, sir, and let us know how it goes. Okay, so that's it for the letters. We are done. One of the things I want to talk to you guys about is that apparently my podcast has become popular enough to where the people I pay to host my website shut me down for a little more than a day, because when I released my last podcast, it threatened to crash their server. I have a small hosting package. I share a server with a whole bunch of other people. I do not have a dedicated server. And one of the things that caused it to do that is because I offer direct listening from my website. So as many of you have chosen to do, you can go to my website and you can click on that link and listen to it directly right there. Well, that absolutely increases the bandwidth that I'm taking up there. And since I share the server with a whole bunch of other people, when my action on my website threatens to crash it, that they kicked me off. Now, what my goal is here, as soon as I finish doing this podcast, is to put it up and to not have that ability to listen to it directly from my blog for now. Eventually, I will have a dedicated server and will be able to do that because I intend on having educational links, recording one of my classes and having it there for you guys to watch as a paid download type of thing for those who will never be able to get to the classes in the limited areas that I am teaching them. Nonetheless, back to the point, for now what I'm going to do is just put the link that will take you to iTunes. Now, I know that a lot of you are not real thrilled with iTunes. I wasn't really. It's a pretty invasive thing to have on your computer. It pisses me off. But for now, I think that's the best thing that I can do because I don't want them shutting down my website, you know, with no warning, which is basically what they did, which was totally not cool, but I understand why they had to do it. So we're going to be working on the different server issues, but for a little while, my podcast, we're just going to have the link that goes straight to iTunes. And it's pretty easy to listen to it from there, so I don't think that it's going to be a huge problem. But for those of you who really didn't want to do the iTunes scenario, well, for now, unfortunately, I think that's going to be what has to happen, because when I release a podcast, I get this flood of people who come and listen to it directly from my blog, and that's been the problem. So I just wanted to explain all that so that when you come to the blog and you click that link and it takes you to iTunes, that you're not kind of going, hey, wait a minute. So there you have it. And let's see, what else do I have to talk about? All of the toys I talked about tonight, all of the toys are available. And this is a way cool announcement that I have. I talked about before about how I've gotten into doing like sex toy parties with an amazing business that is completely non-toxic and body safe, and it's called enticeme.com. So all of the toys that I mention on my podcast, including the Enjoy, including the Eneros, are available through enticeme.com. And if you go there and shop, and you put in Ruby for the coupon code, just Ruby, you'll get 20% off of everything there. And it also, if you buy over $100 worth, it's free shipping. So what I'm doing is kind of funneling everything through this business that I work with and for. so that consolidates things. It makes it an easy place to buy. It's a trusted place to buy, and we give you that 20% discount. What I realized that I've been doing is sending you all over the place to buy things, and other people are making money, and I'm not. So, you know, this is a really good realization for me. One of my goals is to monetize myself as Ruby Writer. This is really important for me to be able to let go of other parts of my life that are still making the biggest part of my income. So one of the things that I totally promise you is that anything that you buy from enticeme.com is completely body safe, completely non-toxic. That is the whole point of this business. And it's really cool when I go off and do sex toy parties to be able to say that. It's good to have a trusted place to buy from. So if you want to help me out, that's where to buy your toys. And with the 20% discount, you're going to be very competitive with price-wise with other places that you buy from. So enticeme, enticeme.com. And when you go there, shop away, have a good time, and put Ruby in the coupon code, and it'll automatically deduct 20% from your total. So happy shopping to you. Okay, so you can call me and leave your questions at 805-500-6544. And thank you to those of you who did call in. That was just such a cool surprise. I love getting the phone calls. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page, and I think I'm up to like something wild, like 720 some thumbs up. But if you want to go and like my Facebook page, Ruby Writer's Pegging Paradise, that would be awesome. You can subscribe to my blog, which has posts that never appear on my podcast. I don't talk about the same things usually, and it has some beautiful pictures too from Tumblr's, a very highly curated selection of beautiful pegging pictures. My podcast is available on iTunes, and that's where I'm going to be sending you when I post this up. Hopefully that will work fine for all of you. And if you want to go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a cool review, I would be most appreciative. My stories are available in Amazon Kindle download store, available for purchase as individual stories. And of course, you can always subscribe to my erotica. I have 3 levels of subscription. I have the 6-inch, the 9-inch, and the I Want It All. The I Want It All is by far the best deal because you get one story a month and you also get all of my archives for $50 a year. You can send your questions if you don't want to call in to ruby@peggingparadise.com. And as always, thanks for downloading and listening. It's really nice to be back, you guys. Happy pegging.